minister from the book of Ephesians, entitling the message, A Prayer for Maturity. A Prayer for Maturity, and that is maturity in Christ. You can be 97 years old and still be a baby in Christ. You can have been saved for 40 years and still be a toddler in Christ. Because maturing in Christ is a spiritual matter, and it means that the one who is maturing has to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And so we find Paul in Ephesians, and let's just read a couple of verses and pray, and then we'll jump right into it. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, Paul is speaking, and he says, For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning for these precious souls that have been baptized in water as a public showing of their faith in you and the fact that they've been baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. We ask you, Lord, that your Spirit would linger upon each one of these, that your conviction would be stronger, and that you would draw them closer and closer to you, Lord, day by day. We pray now, God, that you would bless this word, that you would give me the ability to speak clearly, plainly, to make the content of these passages very clear to your people. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So many have said that Paul is the best example of Christianity that Christ has ever produced. A fully matured Christian, seemingly able to go through almost any kind of a trial and yet keep his joy. He could sit in a prison in Philippi and write a letter that for 2,000 years, millions of people have read the letter he wrote in prison to get strength from. He wrote that in prison. But yet we look at Paul's life, and it was probably between 30 and 35 years between his Damascus Road experience where he got saved and his death. It was only 30 to 35 years. And yet within that relatively small portion of time, he fully matured as a Christian. And yet you and I can take 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, and yet we've not fully matured. So in this prayer that he's praying, you're going to see a progression. What has to happen in order for us to mature as Christians? If you just glance across it quickly and read it just very swiftly, you won't grasp the meaning of it. So today, I'm just going to teach these passages. So firstly, when he says, for this cause I bow my knee, what he's saying is that here's why I'm praying. Here's why I'm going down on my knees and I'm praying to God for these things. You'll notice in this prayer, he does not pray one time for himself. There's nothing in here about Paul praying for himself. He's only praying for the saints at Ephesus. Now, of course, there's nothing wrong with you praying for yourself. You probably should do that. But there's also nothing wrong with praying for other people and having a dedicated prayer in which you only pray for other people. And so when he says, I bow my knees, he's saying, I'm just going to my knees and I'm going to pray. And then he begins to jump into the content of the words, the concepts that he's praying for. So in verse 16, he says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, meaning that I'm bowing my knees, I'm going in prayer so that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might. Now this term, strengthened with might, it means that you have an overcoming power that the Holy Spirit places inside of you. How many's ever had a sin in your life and you couldn't get rid of it? I'm going to raise my hand, other hand for the rest of you. All of us experience that. A besetting sin, you're trying to move past it and you just keep bumping into it and bumping into it. Well, Paul is saying, I'm praying that you'd be strengthened with might internally so that you could overcome externally. So the things that are causing you to stumble and stagger, those things are overcome not by disciplining your mind, but a power that's put inside of you that gives you the ability to discipline and control your physical body. You know, one of the biggest problems all of us have is controlling our physical bodies. Somebody talk back to me. We have problems controlling our mouths. We have problems controlling our sexual organs. We have problems in every aspect. These bodies are a big problem for us. But God, he doesn't just take away the external abilities, but he puts a power of discipline, strengthening you with might inwardly so that you're able to overcome these external things. He says, I pray that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit. Here's what it means. It means the Holy Spirit is the one that gives you the indwelling might that overcomes your externals. Now that tells us in an indirect way, you have got to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. You've got to cooperate. If you don't, you will always be a babe. You will always be ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth because you are denying the power thereof. The power of the Holy Spirit is the one who begins to deal with you and help you move past those stumbling blocks. Let me ask a different question. How many's ever had a problem in your life? You stumbled for years and years, but then you got through it. That's the Holy Ghost. That's an indication you're maturing. You're maturing in some things. Now, just because, of course, you got past that one, it doesn't mean there's not another one in front of you. There will always be another one. But Paul is saying that, he's praying that we be strengthened with might by the Holy Spirit in the inner man, meaning that he doesn't give you power. The word might doesn't mean dunamis, like external power. But actually, it's an internal power that allows you and strengthens you to overcome yourself. You know, we can stop blaming it on the devil. The devil is not our problem. The devil is a defeated foe. He was defeated 2,000 years ago. But what he does is whisper in our ear and cause our flesh to do his bidding. Man, it's so quiet. See, the enemy comes in and he magnify something in your ear, and now your mouth is cussing at somebody else. Now the devil's over there in the corner, and he got you acting like the devil, doing his bidding for him. Well, to be strengthened with might, that puts a roadblock inside of you, so it stops right there. You quench it within yourself before you pass it on to somebody else. So Paul is saying, I pray that you'd be strengthened with might, strengthened with might in the inner man of the heart. He goes on in verse 17, he says, and let's read into it. He's strengthening us so that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. In other words, the more we're able to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit on the inside, to a greater degree can Christ dwell within us, living out his life within us. Paul would say, it's no more I, but Christ dwelleth in me. And you and I, we're on that same path if you'll cooperate so that it will be no more I. I has been disciplined by the might that the Holy Spirit puts on the inside so that Christ can continually dwell in your heart and life. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands on this one because you're not cooperating on that. But many times we can have an experience that we're strong one day and the next day we're doing stuff we need to repent of. Then we're strong the next day. That's because we need Christ to continually be dwelling in our hearts by faith. It's not by your religious doings. It's by you realizing that if there is a problem, if there is a shortcoming, the shortcoming is never in Christ. It's always in us. If there's a failure, it's never in Jesus. The failure is always in us. And listen closely. If you justify that failure in your life, well, if she hadn't have said this, I wouldn't have done that. If you justify that, you will always be a Christian baby. And listen, the problem we have in mainstream Christianity now is we've got too many toddlers splashing around in the kiddie pool and not launching out into the depth of what the Lord has for us. Here's what he's doing. He's not making you a religious personality. He is creating his personality in you so that when he's done, you will be an absolute representation of Jesus Christ's character and his personality. Which means that you become somewhat a utility for everyone around you. You know, the utilities, you don't even know you have utilities till they're gone. Most of us don't know that the light in your house, it don't come from the switch you flick. It comes from the electric company, the utility. And when we grow up in Christ, we become a supporting foundational utility to all those around us. And many times they don't even know that you're doing it. But the obligation is the same, that we hold up that which has been given us to hold up. So he says then that he bows his knee in prayer so that we would be strengthened in might, so that Christ might dwell in our hearts by faith, so that we might finally get rooted and grounded in Christ. It means that you have a toehold, you have a hold on the things of God, and the Holy Spirit has a hold on you. Now, let me just address this. The Holy Spirit is not just some smoke, spiritual smoke in the room above your head. The Holy Spirit is God. And when you get saved, when you get born again, the sin debt is moved out of the way. Now the Holy Spirit, who is here in the earth realm with us, he has access to your heart. And you can feel it when you're doing something that he doesn't like. You can feel it convicts you. It doesn't feel right. Now, you got two options. You can just blow through that and do what you was going to do, and you're on the path to forever babyhood. Or you can allow the Holy Spirit to check you and say, oh, God, if it doesn't please you, I don't want to be involved in it. And it may be difficult the first few times. But after a while, you begin to lean to that which the Holy Spirit, which pleases him. You'll find soon, in not too long, it won't even be a decision for you. You just don't do that thing anymore. That thing is gone. And as I said earlier, no matter how many things you've put behind you, all of us, we still got some mess in front of us. Okay, I'm going to ask again. How many can just admit, I got some mess in me? When I look back at my life and even where I'm at now, the old Charles Lincoln, I don't like that guy. I don't like who he is. I don't like how he thinks. I don't like nothing about him. And the sooner that I can get rid of him, the better off. I wanted to just be all Jesus Christ because he's better. And when he's involved, he makes me better. When I'm following him, I'm walking a path that's better. Everything is better with Jesus Christ. So he says that Christ might dwell in your hearts so that you might be rooted and grounded in love. That means that you're established, deeply established in the love of God. Now, I'm sure if I asked for a show of hands, everyone in here would say, I know that God loves me. But knowing that God loves you, there are degrees. It's not just Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible told me so. That's wonderful if you're in the kiddie pool of Christianity. But there comes a time that we need to become more aware of how great is his love. How deep is his love? While we were yet sinners, he commended his love towards us in that Christ died. While we was blaspheming his name, while we was making fun of Christianity, his son died so that he could pull us out of that mess. But it goes beyond. That's just another degree. But there's degree after degree after degree. As we mature in Christianity, we should have a greater awareness of how deeply God loves us. I cannot bite into an apple without realizing God loves me. Taste this apple. God made this for me. Now look, let's go back into Genesis and let's figure out how God did this. Before he ever made Adam, he made the apples and the pineapples and the oranges. He made all of the fruit, each one of them with a particular taste. The chemistry is just right to make them taste a particular way. And then on the sixth day, he made Adam. And when he made Adam, he put special nerves in his tongue so Adam could appreciate all of the fruit that God had made. He didn't have to do that. He could have made everything taste like mush. just bland. But he gave us the ability to appreciate the things that he made so that we can know how much he loves us. I can't look at a sunrise and realize my father painted that for me. He loves me. Amen. So as we mature in Christianity, we should become more and more aware. You're going to need to know God loves you because things are getting ready to get tough. As we continue forward in this weirdness that's going on, things for Christians are going to get tough, and you're going to need to know that you know that you know that you know that God loves you even in the midst of a terrible situation. Paul sat in a Philippi prison, chained to a Roman centurion, and he wrote Philippians and a few other prison epistles, and he emphasized, God loves us. God loves us. It's not by the situation you're going through. It's that it has been revealed in your heart and that you know that God loves you even in a bad situation. And Paul says this is the path of maturity for the Christian. This is why Paul was praying for the saints in Ephesus that they might mature, that they might go through this progression and mature to the place that they're aware of the depth of God's love. In fact, he says in verse 18, I'll read into it, so that you may be rooted and grounded in love and may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. He's saying that he wants us to understand the vastness of God's love, how big it is. He describes it as the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. And we can understand that this way. The breadth just means how wide it is. His love went out to all nations, not just the Jewish nation, but to every Gentile. A world full of sinners, God so loved the world. That's the breadth of his love. Then he says the length of it. It went from righteous Abel 6,000 years ago and it's carried all the way through all of the centuries of the millennia and came even to right now. That's the length of his love. Then the depth. It goes down to the deepest sinner. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how bad you've acted up. And some of us have been really bad. I can tell the ones laughing. I know. Listen, we grow up as sinners. We do bad things. And I'm not beating you up. When I was 18, I robbed a gas station. When I was 18. Didn't need the money or anything. Just did it. Just bad. But God's love goes down to the deepest sinner and raises them up far above all principalities and powers to the heights of heaven. He takes them all the way to the top. He never reminds you of what you've done. You won't forget it. You know what you did. But the Holy Spirit will never, he'll never throw that up in your face that you did this or you did that. Even when you fall in the midst of walking with him, you fall and you just mess everything up. The Holy Spirit just says, come on, get up, son. Get up, daughter. Let's go on. He never throws it back in your face. This is the love of God. Everyone in this room, you've done things you can't tell nobody else. You can't tell your best friend, your husband, and your wife because it's so shameful, embarrassing. You don't want to tell nobody else. God knows you did that thing, but he never brings it up. He's always trying to take you higher in Christ. Hallelujah. Because once you spill the milk, you can't unspill it. Once you do the deed, you can't undo it. And the Holy Spirit realizes this. You can be in the hog pen. You can be in the hog pen. But the Father's always waiting for you to come to yourself. Turn around and come back to Jesus Christ. That's the love of God. So he goes on then in the next verse, verse 19. Not only does he want you to know the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, but he wants you to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Now get this. This was my point earlier. All of us know God loves us to a degree. But there are many degrees to knowing God's love. And so Paul says here, and Paul was caught up to the third heaven. I mean, he saw some things. And he says that you might know, that word now, know is ginesko in the Greek. It means that you might have experiential knowledge. that you might experience not just an intellectual awareness of God's love, but you've experienced the love of God, get this, which passes knowledge. That you might know that which passes knowledge. You see what he's saying? It means the natural mind can't comprehend this. It means eyes have not seen and ears have not heard, has not entered into the heart of man the things that God has for us. That you might understand that which is non-understandable. See, this is something for Christians that are maturing. There's a place that it becomes impossible to express the love of God. And many times we walk around without an awareness of how deeply he loves us because we have no awareness of what's in this book. And we walk around and we don't know how deeply God loves us, but one day you and I are going to be in a problem in an area that we need help. And we have to be confident. He loves me. He loves me. We just buried a sister this past week. I believe it was last week. I've known her since she was 4 years old. She grew up beautiful young lady. She loved God. And she feared God. And she grew up and she was stricken in her early 30s with multiple sclerosis, which is a very debilitating disease. And as her body began to decline, it took months, years actually, that her body was declining from bad to worse to worse to worse. And I would go by and I would tell her, you know God loves you. She says, I know he loves me. Now she's in bed, she can't walk, her limbs are beginning to shrivel up, but she said this, I know God loves me. You need to know something. Because listen, there's things that you and I can go through, it will check you. It will try your faith. It'll make you question. I don't know. Have I done something wrong? Maybe I did something wrong in some way. No, you didn't. God loves you. We live in a fallen creation. We're in fallen bodies, and bad things happen in a fallen world. Oh, but the love of God, it goes on and on and on. And you and I, we need to know. And so he says that you might know by experience the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, so that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. It means that you have the fullness of his presence, the fullness of your knowledge of concerning God. You're full of God. Now, you can't get there and be in the kiddie pool at the same time. You know, many times we do exactly like little kids. Little kids will go into mommy's closet and put on mommy's high heels. And they got this much room in the back of them. And they put on mommy's robe and mommy's nightcap. And they walk around, I'm mommy. But the reality is they're just a child splashing around in the kiddie pool. You cannot be mommy until you have grown by experiential knowledge into all the things that mommy knows. Are you with me today? And so Paul's prayer then for the saints in Ephesus is that they would move through this process. And I believe it's God's will for all of us here in the room today that we move through this process. Again, the first step is cooperate with the Holy Spirit. You have to do that. You cannot teach the unteachable. If a person has just put their heels in and said, I'm not going any further, well, no one can help that person. God's not going to override your will to force you to grow up. And you will not grow up by the passage of time alone. You're going to have to exert some spiritual energy to read this book. I would, if you're not of age, I would say get into the New Testament, not Revelation. Get into the New Testament and begin to read it slowly for comprehension, not to see how much you can read. And when you get done reading the New Testament, go back and read it again. You missed most of it. I've read it for 40 years. I open it now and I go, my God, I didn't know that was in there. Or I knew what was in there. I could quote it, but I had no idea what it meant. And so is God's will, I believe, for us to move through this progression just as the Apostle Paul laid it out. Allow him to strengthen you with might by the Holy Ghost in the inward man so that we can take control, that we can take control of these earthen vessels and bring ourselves, our thoughts, our mouths, and our minds into subjection to Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit will grab your hand and walk you through every step. It doesn't happen in a week or a month. It doesn't happen in a year. It doesn't happen in a decade. But it happens little by little by little until one day you get to a place and you turn around and you look, how in the world did I get to this place? And you realize Jesus Christ carried you all the way. Praise the name of the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap, won't you? He is a good God. If you would, bow your heads. We'll go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you so much. Lord, you've laid out the whole plan of redemption and maturity within your written word. God, help us as Christians, as Sierra preached this morning, not to become so busy that we don't have time to grow in Christ. Help us not to become so enamored in the things of this world, the culture of this world, that we show no interest in the culture of heaven and the things of God. Come on, all over the room, could I ask you to stand to your feet if you're able? If you're able. You know where you're at. And why don't you just lift your hands and begin to ask God, Lord, where I'm at right now, I do want to mature. And maybe you've made some missteps. Maybe you've not been as serious as you should be. Just ask him, Father, I'm ready to come home. I'm ready to grow in Christ. I want a deeper walk. I want Christ to be revealed in my life, that it's no more I, but that Christ might show himself in my life. Come on, just reach out to the Lord. He loves you this morning. Just reach out.
Heavenly Father, how we thank you so much for being Lord of all, for being omnipotent, which is all powerful. I just pray, Father God, that you just help us to get in our prayer closet and get on our knees and pray and ask you, God, to help us to get back to you. And not only in our prayer closet, God, help us to get back into our word, or if you haven't started reading the word, that we would get into it. Because when we read your word, Lord Jesus, you show us, and you help us to be a better person so that we can help others around us. It is in Jesus' precious and holy name that I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you all for coming out this morning. We welcome all of our visitors. You're always welcome to come. We're so glad to have you here. And for those who joined us online, we thank you for joining us as well and hope that you enjoyed the service as well. And I have just a few announcements, and I'm going to let you all get out of here. The first one is, if you haven't had a chance to give, if you would please help us uplift and build the kingdom of God. This service and all of our other services, they're online. They're helping people to reach out to God. And this Wednesday, we have a laity service. We will not have Bible study. It will be laity. And it starts at 7 p.m. And we would love to have you come out and listen to what God has given the laity speakers. And on September the 26th, it is movie night. So if you plan on coming, if you would, please, there's a sign-up sheet out there on the table. Just let us know, sign up if you're going to come, and then sign up if you don't mind helping out. And that is at 7 o'clock p.m. also. And so with that announcement, with all the announcements, you are now dismissed, and have a great, wonderful rest of the day.